Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Welcome to Resource People Podcast. I'm Tara Diamond from AMA, your host. And I'm really excited to bring you an episode with a leader in our industry whose company is renowned for its gender diversity and mental health initiatives. I chat with Val Madsen, the Executive General Manager People at Goldminer St. Barbara, to hear about why the company is an employer of choice and how its focus on building brilliance and empowered people, diverse teams, is attracting and retaining the skills needed in their organisation. I hope you enjoyed the chat. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Val Madsen.
Thanks, Tara.
I'm so delighted Val could join us today because Val has been someone that we have wanted to bring you on Resource People Podcast since the beginning that we have started this. So we're so pleased. And I want to get people started with telling us about St. Barbara, what St. Barbara does, how many people you employ, particularly your Australian operations. And then, of course, I'm going to ask all about you. So if you don't mind getting us started with St. Barbara, Val.
Sure. Let me provide some context. So we're an Australian gold miner and producer and explorer, and we have operations across three countries, Australia, Papua New Guinea, and most recently in Canada. So our complete workforce is around 2,200 personnel. Here in Australia, however, we've got a workforce of around 500. And we have a pretty clean split between employees and contractors. So our employee base is 250 in Australia.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for setting that for us. And St. Barbara is an employer of choice and is renowned for its culture. And in that context, could you tell us about you and your role at St. Barbara?
Sure. I started with St. Barbara in 2013, and originally I came into the company to set up and put in place a full training and management system and do some org design type work. 6 months into the role, I was promoted into the GM Human Resources, and then in early 2020, I was promoted into the EGM role. So currently, I report to the MD and CEO. I'm a member of the executive leadership team. And my portfolio looks over HR, communication, corporate affairs, and health, safety, environment, and community. So it's a big portfolio, but I love the work, and particularly as it's so varied, and also looking at each of those aspects of the function across three jurisdictions is very interesting.
Well, lots of functions that you look after there. And today's chat, we are going to mainly focus on St. Barbara's industry-leading gender diversity initiatives, which has made St. Barbara an employer of choice and, as I mentioned, really renowned for its culture. Can you tell us about St. Barbara's overarching goals for diversity and inclusion and tell us where you are now and where you think you want to get to in terms of those goals?
Yeah, sure. Look, our journey commenced really when we started to have a hard look at, one, our workforce in total, and looked at our engagement and culture at the time. Mm-hmm. We put in place a number of objectives around where we wanted to get to in terms of diversity and inclusion across the workforce. And one of our early goals was to be recognised as an employer of choice for gender equality. And the reason we chose that is that it gave us a real strategic plan to achieve, and it gave us direction in terms of what we needed to do. We recognised that it was global best practice. And in 2013, we put in our first submission. We were successful in that. And it did require us to have a 12-month plan leading into that to make sure, one, that we had the right systems and initiatives. And then year on year, we've been able to continue to meet those requirements. And believe me, WGEA raises the bar every year. And again, we've just recently submitted our most recent citation submission. But look, our strategy and our vision is to be an employer of choice globally. And really what we want to do is use those achievements that we've had here in Australia and use that as a platform. And what we would like is for our workplace to be recognised as one where everyone feels safe and valued. So ultimately, that's our vision. We've got action plans and strategies, and we've got a number of diversity objectives in place to achieve our goals.
It's worth noting that since 2013, you have been successful in getting that citation and the only mining organisation to be able to do so. So congratulations, Val, and to the whole St Barbara team on an amazing achievement, and hoping that it really inspires and encourages other employers in our industry to take that challenge of what your goals and your vision are up to others. But I want to take a deep dive into something that St Barbara has called Empowered People Diversity Teams as a commitment. I understand it's quite new. Can you talk us through the origins and the goals of this particular initiative?
Yeah, that certainly is. And we looked at this as part of our rebrand. So earlier this year, we looked at what is the company's vision, and we rebranded St Barbara. So you'll notice that on our website now that we've changed our logo. And we identified five commitments that we wanted to be known as and known by. And one of those is Empowered People, Diverse Teams. And what that means for us, again, is that we're setting about our commitment as a company, as a leadership, as a workforce, that we are an employer of choice. We're committed to inclusion and diversity. And the other aspect of that for us is that to have empowered people, you really need to have that caring work environment where people can thrive, they feel safe, and they can fulfill their potential. So it is relatively new, but it's embedded in all that we do across the people space.
And it's so interesting to hear just the word caring in relation to energy or resources company. It's not culturally something, you know, sure from a safety perspective, but you're talking about it from a broad perspective. So really interesting point. And I understand that the people strategy they have that underpins this has six key areas. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we do. We've kept our people strategy and we have six pillars, what we call pillars to that. And in essence, that's talent, diversity, leadership, engagement, performance, and capability development. And essentially, they're the pillars that drive our programs to ensure that we do have those empowered people, diverse teams.
Right. And talent's pretty tough at the moment, as everyone will recognise at the time of this recording. But we can get onto a little bit of COVID down the track, because I want to keep going onto this, particularly in relation to the topic of talent, because I understand St Barbara's refreshed its employee value proposition as part of all of that. You know, how did you approach that, Val? And what does it include? What were the changes that you made that's really evolved your, you know, employee value proposition?
Yeah, Tara, you're right. Certainly with talent, I think everyone's focused on that. I think COVID has just further made that a greater challenge, particularly around mobility. And even with our contracting personnel, they've had challenges with getting people and equipment, by the way, to sites. Right. So what we initially did was had a bit of a step back and we looked at our EVP statement. And in essence, it was just all about the benefits, which is great. So what we did do is we stepped back and we started to broaden that. So what we're focusing on now is getting people to understand why would they come and work with us. And so now what we're highlighting is aspects of working with a team of technical experts. We're focusing on how their role provides positive impacts to the community and also how they personally themselves will grow and develop. And lastly, our EVP focuses on how their work is rewarded. So we've refreshed that for all of our jurisdictions, and it's now a key part of our talent acquisition strategy.
Wow, that sounds amazing, the way you really thought about taking it just from being about what's in it for them from a reward or from a benefits perspective and thinking about it more from a contribution and engagement. So that's really interesting. And I've heard this term used a few times around the work St Barbara's doing in terms of building brilliance. And I just love the play on building brilliance, because obviously being a gold miner, but what does building brilliance look like from a St Barbara workforce perspective?
Building brilliance is really our transformation journey, and it's a term we gave it. Initially, we were talking about transformation. What does that mean? And we really felt that building brilliance gave it more of a message about what we want it to be. And initially, it was about unlocking value for the operations, but we've also applied that to the people space. So for us, that means unlocking value in terms of opportunities for development, growth, and progression. And I guess one good example of that is, as part of our Building Brilliance journey, each week the executive are nominated with someone in the workforce who's gone over and above and really added value to their role or to their team or to their site. And one of the executive leadership team reaches out to that person and acknowledges their great work and then follows up with a recognition card. And that's sort of where that EVP comes in. So direct contact, even the MD is making these calls, and we've had really good positive feedback on that. So Building Brilliance isn't just about unlocking value for the operations. It is about what we're doing in the people space as well as the safety space.
Wow. And have you got any stories that have come out of that Building Brilliance process that you have that you're able to share with us?
Look, there's been quite a few success stories, and I'll mention one in terms of one of our supply superintendents. And, you know, we've had warehouses on our site for some time. We had someone fresh come in, recognise and identify an opportunity for improvement within the warehouse, something no one else had seen before, a simple but important initiative that actually impacted people's safety in the warehouse. And look, that's one of many examples in terms of what we've had. We've seen initiatives around protecting the environment, being more clean energy minded. We've applied some of those within our zero emissions target strategy. So the initiatives that people are coming up with under Building Brilliance crosses every aspect of what they're doing in their jobs, what we're doing in our communities in which we work, and more broader in provinces and states.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing those. It's always great bringing something to life like that. And talking about people, and we touched on it before, the skills shortage as a key issue for our industry. What are some of the initiatives that St Barbara's implemented or is thinking about to ensure that you're able to attract the right people to be able to realise your EVP?
Yeah, it is a challenge here. We've noticed the challenge as well in PNG and Canada.
Right.
However, what we've done here in Australia, and it's interesting to note that even the list of skill shortage has increased over this last 12-month period. And we know now it's not just mining engineers, it's actually every type of engineer where there's a shortage and the pool is very small. So some of the things we've done is put together a referral program. We've never done that before. It's had some success in that, which is great. We've also had stronger partnerships with our contractors and really pooling our talent and doing a reciprocal referral program.
Wow.
And also some of the things we've done is marketing campaigns. For example, come and work at Gwalia. Why would you want to work at Gwalia? Well, it has a very long history. It's a mine that's been in production for well over 100 years. The first mining manager was Herbert Hoover, who went on to be an American president later in his career. So
wow.
These are some of the things that we're doing.
Wonderful. I mean, that's such an interesting piece of history for your organisation as well, for people to feel like can be part of that history. But in such a tight labour market, how has it impacted your gender targets and how have you been trying to overcome those challenges?
Interestingly, we're still seeing the challenges around getting a diverse candidate pool for the FIFO operations. So overall, we're currently sitting in terms of our representation of women at 28%, which is well above mining industry.
Well above, according, yep.
Yeah, I think it's yep. 18%.
It is 17 point something, absolutely.
Yeah. So we've got 50-50 representation across the corporate offices. It's more challenging when it comes to the FIFO operation roles, and that's where we see a drop in the number of female candidates. And currently we're at 15% and we've set a target to increase that to 20% over the next 2 years. So, look, I think being an employer of choice with Wajir is a very big draw card for women in the industry, particularly in the current climate post the release of Respect at Work. Candidates are really looking for companies that have the right brand, the right reputation, and that they know they're going to be working in a safe environment.
Very important point that you make there. And I love that you touched on respect at work and really the public attention that the industry's had as a consequence of not just respect at work, but really the shifting in community standards in relation to gendered safety. I do want to touch on another pillar of your people strategy, which is leadership. Can you share with us how St Barbara develops its leaders and nurtures that future leaders for the business? You touched on that you've got 28%, and that's incredible. How do you then create the leadership pipeline for females, but not just females, for all people in your workforce?
It's a good point you raised, Tara. I think one of the issues that the industry faces in terms of diversity is certainly having more women and First Nations represented in leadership roles. And that, to me, is going to be the one element that addresses the overall pay gap in this industry and other industries and within Australia overall. So what we've done, we've got a comprehensive leadership framework and we've got bespoke leadership development programs for all levels of our leadership. And one of the things that we've found a lot of success in is having our own internal mentoring program. However, this year, we're launching a pilot program for our senior leaders. And one of the areas that we're really looking at is ensuring that we've got good bench strength. And I think that's in response to the challenge for talent and making sure that we can grow our own by our own.
You touched on challenges for the industry, and that has something that the industry has been challenged by in the past. The market conditions have often allowed for people to be able to, you know, transfer from different companies, whereas at the moment, it's really put the onus back on companies to do what you just said, which is focus on the bench strength to build and develop your own. So pleased to hear that St Barbara's taking that. And in fact, one of St Barbara's key achievements has been having 33% of the company's directors being women. And can you tell us more about, you know, whether that was deliberate and how you reached that mark? Is the company comfortable with that or looking to do more in that space?
In fact, for our directors, we've had a diversity objectives for many years. In fact, it started out at 25% and then we increased that to 33%. Wow. Interestingly, when you look at the number of directors that we have, if you exclude the MD and CEO, who plays a dual role, we've actually got a very good balance of gender. We've got 40% representation of female directors. And I think what the board has done is really shown its leadership by saying, we've got a gender representation target and we're going to meet that. And they have. And that sends a good message right across the company because we also have diversity targets for our Australian workforce, Canadian workforce, and our PNG workforce. So I think our board has got great diversity, not just of gender, but of skills as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. And another topic on leadership is the subject of your Safety First Leadership Program. Can you tell us about how St Barbara is working to ensure appropriate workplace behaviours, work practices, and really that contribution to continually maintaining that people safe and caring environment that you've talked about earlier?
Yeah, look, we certainly launched that as part of our Building Brilliance. We acknowledged that we couldn't just build brilliance in operations. It had to incorporate the people aspect and most importantly, our safety leadership. And really what we've done in that space is connected hearts and minds around safety, leadership, attitudes and behaviours. So when I talked earlier about our five commitments, our number one commitment is safety always. And so that's what we've launched this year and it's captured around our framework of care. And really what our endeavour is there is to, again, double down on safety leadership in the workplace and in the field. So we've now piloted a safety leadership program in Australia. We've had 70 of our leaders complete the first component, which is the workshop. They've all developed their own personal leadership plan, which they're sharing with their teams. And currently now we've got some in-field coaching happening and the feedback has been really positive and we'll be rolling that program out in PNG in January and also in Canada early in the new year.
Well, speaking of skills shortages, with all the amazing initiatives and how proactive you are in a number of these spaces, I'm sure there are a lot of listeners of the podcast who will be hitting St. Barbara up for a job. They'll be saying, I want to work there because this culture of care just sounds really, really wonderful approach. And talking about the safety of your people, we did touch and allude to it earlier about the impact of COVID-19 and the challenges associated with that. How has St. Barbara dealt with the pandemic, and what are some of the key initiatives that you've undertaken to keep your people safe but also supported? Because you've obviously got operations around the world, which means you've probably got expats going here, there and everywhere, Val.
Yes, it's been a challenge, as it has, I'm sure, for all of us here in Australia and globally. Look, I think what St. Barbara has done well is we responded quickly. We developed protocols, which was really about identifying those controls that we're going to minimise, as many others have. The other part I think we did really well is we very quickly developed a critical risk control standard. And in the mining industry, that's very common. There are many critical risk standards and most organisations have them. But certainly we had seen what the COVID-19 pandemic did globally, and we felt that it was such a high risk that we needed to have a standard around the requirements of that. So that's having good policy and procedures in place. That's one aspect. But supporting our people was paramount as well. And what we've done in that space is ensure that people have information. Many of us were isolating, so we made sure that people were communicated with, having the right sort of communication platforms like Teams. And also care packages. That was an important aspect of what we did for our people, particularly for PNG. We had Australian expats who were on rosters of 21 days on and 14 days off that had to move to a roster of 3 months on, 2 months off. Now, that's a long time to be away from your family. And so we put in some care packages to make sure that each of our expats' immediate families were covered in terms of lawn mowing or house cleaning or whatever it was that we could do to help them. So I know it's been a very trying time. At the moment, our focus is on vaccination. Mm. We've consulted with our people. There's a lot of conversation about this. So we've run pulse surveys right across the group to get an indication of where people are at with their own vaccination and their views on mandation of vaccination. And our biggest concern at the moment is Papua New Guinea. They have very low levels of vaccination and the health system there is under a lot of pressure.
Yes, I mean, I've seen that in the news. I know it concerned the Australian government as well. So I have no doubt that you'll get the results that you need with the focus that you have on it to keep those operations safe and cared for, but albeit a really significant challenge. Thank you for talking us through that. I really want to get back onto diversity and inclusion because I know that there's some amazing things you do which contribute to you being, as I said earlier, receiving the WGEA Citation of Employer of Choice 7 years running. And I also understand that St. Barbara is also one of 10 Australian companies to be included in the 2021 Bloomberg Gender Equality Index amongst 380 companies across 11 sectors worldwide. So congratulations. You must be very proud of these recognitions and the work that you and the team have done. But I want to talk about something that I know is getting more and more attention in the resource industry, which is gender safety. And we've touched on it a couple of times. But I want to understand why it's been such a focus for St. Barbara and what kind of initiatives and improvements you've put in place as a result of focusing on gender safety.
Yes, certainly, Tara. We started this journey back in 2015 and we commenced it first in PNG. And really what a gender safety audit is taking a risk-based approach to safety, but looking at safety through the lens of gender. And it's quite holistic. So it covers three main areas. We look at physical safety, so your work tasks, you know, things that you're doing on the work site, but even travelling to and from site is part of that physical safety. We also look at emotional safety. So that incorporates your psychological safety, whether you're feeling safe at work, that you're working in an environment that's free of bullying, harassment, discrimination. And the last part we look at is occupational safety, and that's looking at not just attracting talent to the industry, but retaining that talent in the industry. So the process is identifying those factors that might impact the safety of women getting to and from work and also at work. But it also raises awareness of gender-based risk. So some of the things that we've seen post those audits, we've conducted them now, PNG, Australia, and most recently in Canada. Each of those audits presents a report, findings and recommendations. And some of the benefits we've implemented is simple things like lighting in certain areas, making sure that there's good means of communication when someone's working in a remote area of the worksite, better PPE and better facilities particularly, and also improving safety of people getting to and from site. So there are some of the benefits, but I think the biggest benefit we've experienced is people, our workforce coming back saying, thank you for caring. And what's interesting is we've had a number of issues come to light through these audits and we've been able to address them. Mm. And we, like many companies, have had platforms and opportunities for people to raise concerns before, but it's actually when you ask the direct question, how do you feel at work? Do you feel safe at all times at work? And that's the biggest benefit that we've seen.
Val, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know that a lot of people have been down this path because they've heard you talk about the gender safety work you've done, in particular the gender safety audit. So thank you so much for sharing with it. And like I said earlier, you inspire a lot of organisations to become employer of choice in our industry by taking that leadership and having that vision to do it. And hopefully what we've talked about today will encourage others to think about the gender safety work that you've done. So thank you so much for sharing the journey that you've been on and what St Barbara are up to and really joining us on Resource People podcast today. Thank you, Val.
Thank you, Tara.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Resource People podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to bring with you an in-depth conversation and perspective from Val on how St Barbara is building diverse teams and, in particular, delving into those six key areas that the company's targeting as part of its people strategy. I hope you enjoyed the chat and I look forward to you joining us next time on Resource People podcast.
AMA acknowledges and pays respects to the traditional custodians of the land from which the Resource People podcast was recorded from today, both the Turrbal and Yugara people. AMA acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which you are living, learning and listening to this podcast from today. We pay our respects to elders both past, present and emerging.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.